Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Church. We exist to honor God through reaching our city and touching the world with the amazing love of Jesus Christ. Now, let's join Pastor Josh Shelton for this life-changing message.
I'm going to be talking about faithfulness, and we've been going through the fruit of the Spirit, and I've enjoyed it myself, getting a little deeper and just kind of looking through the Bible at how the fruit of the Spirit is laid out in the entire Bible. And so we've gone through the first five, I believe it is. We're on faithfulness, and so I'm really enjoying this one, I guess. I don't know what the correct word is, but you know what? Faithfulness is... It's something that we just have got to grab a hold of. We have to know and understand. And, you know, in this time we live, it's not something that just everybody has. And it's not something that's easy to live in faithfulness. I mean, we've got so many issues in marriages and all kinds of other different things with faithfulness, and this is big. It's big. I mean, really, all the fruit of the Spirit, but you know, love and faithfulness are huge. They're huge. I want to start out by there's a Hallmark card. I'm going to read what it says, and the card says, "I can't promise you forever, but I can promise you today." Can't promise you forever, but I can promise you today. So this is just awesome that in this card, basically, it's making a statement of, you know what? I can promise you I'm going to be here. I mean, I know there was probably some good that they meant by that card. But to me, that card is lacking faithfulness. It's lacking steadfastness, which is faithfulness. And I want a card to read, "I can give you my whole life. I will be here forever. As long as I'm alive, I will be here for you." You know, I mean, how much more weighty would that be if you gave a card to somebody that read that instead of, you know what, not sure about tomorrow, maybe gone, maybe somewhere else, but today I'll give it to you. Let's be faithful and steadfast. Psalm 100, verse 5, I don't think they have this one, but it says, "The Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Look, if we look at God and his example, it's nothing but faithfulness. It's nothing but being steadfast and there for us throughout time. It may not be exactly how we want it all the time or when we want him to move on our behalf or what have you, but he is always faithful to his word, not necessarily to our words, because sometimes my words don't line up with God and his words. They could possibly not line up. Hopefully they do most of the time for all of us. But he is faithful to his word and what he's told us all the time. Amen? God is faithful. Think about that. Every time it rains and afterwards it stops raining and you see a rainbow, it's to remember that a long time ago that there's a flood and he said, "Look, this is going to be put in the sky to remind you of what happened and that I'm faithful to do what I said I will do. I will be here with you," whether that's to encourage you or even to correct you at times, like sometimes he has to, but I'm faithful to my word. He keeps his promises, doesn't he? As we pick up our Bibles and we are able to look through the pages, we can read in Matthew 24:35, it says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." His words will not pass away. This Bible, that we get to read, that we have the privilege of reading and studying what God has said to us. This has lasted, think about it, even to this day. Parts of it, the New Testament, lasting for 2,000 years. Other parts of it coming down through another, you know, 3 or 4,000 years from before Jesus. And I don't know anything that has that much clarity and steadfastness and faithfulness. I mean, there's books that have lasted a long time, but I know that when I read that Bible, that there's truth in there, and that it speaks of things that came hundreds of years after, and they came to pass just as it said, because God is faithful, because His words don't fail, and they don't go away. They will not pass away, it says. When we gather to worship, we can remember that it says in Matthew 18:20, it says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." And of course, He's with us all the time. We accept Him into our heart and He's with us. But as we gather together, He's saying, look, when you gather together and you come together and to learn and grow and study my word, as you gather together to pray, it's bringing together, just connecting the links in the chain of who we are as children of God, and making a substantial difference that by ourselves, by myself, of course I can be with Him. Of course I can pray. I can make things happen with God's help, not by myself, but with God's help. But as we gather together, we can make nations change. Even two or three of us gathered together can make some substantial change in our world around us. Amen? Every time we take communion or answer an invitation to accept Christ, we can remember that He said, I will be with you even to the end of the world, to the end of the age. I will be there. And you know what? I know myself, because I've seen it, and I know that many of you out there have seen it, that He is faithful, because I've seen Him in time after time where He's there with me in a struggle, in a time of you know, heartache or something happening in our family, whatever. He's there, and I see His presence resting on that situation and on our family, on our life. And I see it in other people's lives when they go through something tough, and He's there and He's faithful. Amen. Matthew 14:2-4, it says, you know what, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. It says, in my Father's house there are many rooms, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and I will take you with me. And you know what, He's faithful to do that, because I've seen time after time somebody come to the end of their life, and the presence of God being there in a way that is so tangible and so unbelievably, awesome. I mean, where somebody's been in pain and struggled and had a rough time of being sick, but at the end, there's such peace over the situation. And the reason I had Ben stand up here is because there's an old hymn. It's called Great Is Thy Faithfulness. And I just wanted them to sing this. Rather than me just say a few of the lines, I wanted them to sing just a little bit of it. And just think about it, you know. And I want, as they sing this song, for us to really contemplate the faithfulness of God and who He is.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, and there is no shadow.
faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Ben. He's so faithful. We can see new mercies every morning. He's with us. He's there. I don't have to worry about going to sleep and waking up the next morning and wondering if my God is going to be there. I do have to wonder if I'm trusting solely in somebody else that's around me, that's in an earthly body, because you know what? We all have faults. We all have issues. We all have things to deal with. But my God, what I'm trying to say is he never fails. He never runs away. He is always going to be there with us. And of course, we have to think about that it's not always going to be in the way that we think he should, but he is always there and always faithful to his word. If we allow God's Spirit to work in us, and him to be with us, then the fruit of the Spirit that we've been talking about and we're still going to talk about for the next couple of weeks, those fruit of the Spirit will flow out of us and they will grow on my, look, I'm a branch, and that fruit will grow in my life if I'm connected to him and I'm allowing him to be a part of my life. The more we yield to his guidance and his nudging of, hey, you know what? Hey, Josh, I don't think you should be doing that. I would like you to go this direction. I would like you to spend more time with your wife and talk with your kids about this. And as I listen, as I take those steps, my branch grows stronger and stronger. And you know what? When your branch grows stronger, I'm not the vine. I'm not the thing that goes down into the ground that gets all the nutrients. That's God. All I'm doing is holding on to that vine. I'm holding on to the vine so tight so that my branch can grow stronger, so that all of a sudden my branch is strong enough that I can hold all this fruit. Amen? I want to look at the definition of faithfulness. And first of all, I want to look at the definition in the dictionary, and then go into what the Bible says about faithfulness, okay? So when we look in the dictionary, it says, to follow through with a commitment regardless of difficulty. To follow through with a commitment regardless of difficulty. That's great. That's a great definition. And really, for us to have that level of faithfulness is great. It's awesome, but that's not the fullness of the word as it's used in the New Testament, as it's used in the Bible, just like so many words that we have nowadays that don't hold as much weight as they did. Back in the times, those words that they used as Jesus was speaking held so much more weight. That definition, it's like, you know, the word hope. And actually, I think I have this later in my message, but I might just go ahead and say it now. The word hope, now, it's got this meaning of, oh yeah, I hope this is going to happen. But no, hope, the word hope is this clinging to love and knowing that something's going to happen. It's clinging to this thing. I hold this hope in my Father, in my God. And it's not this little thing, oh, I hope it's going to happen, I'm so weak. But no, I hope. My hope. Faithfulness. To follow through with a commitment regardless of difficulty is the dictionary definition. I've heard it said this way, and I think this is a little bit better definition. It says, faithfulness is love hanging on. Just like that hope I was saying. Faithfulness is love hanging on. See, sometimes things happen, and it may kind of rock our boat or whatever, but faithfulness is love. I've got this love. Well, first of all, I'm hanging on to the vine, to Jesus. But then also, I'm hanging on to my family. I'm hanging on to my friends. And it's love, and that love and compassion that helps me to hang on, right? So if I don't have love, what's really going to compel me to hang on with faithfulness? If a husband, think about it this way, talking about faithfulness, if a husband says he loves his wife and says it and says it really as much as he possibly can, but doesn't act that out, he's unfaithful. The words don't mean anything. It's the actions. It's the actually holding on. And we're supposed to hold on as tight as we can. Amen? Sometimes we may get discouraged. We may be disappointed. But faithfulness says, even though there is discouragement and disappointment, I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let go of the vine. My branch is going to stay connected, and I'm going to bear this fruit, and I'm going to be strong enough to hold so much fruit because I'm connected to God. I'm connected to that vine. Amen? So listen to what the Bible says here about faithfulness. I'm going to read a few scriptures. Of course, there's so many more than I'm going to read about faithfulness. But if we go to 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, it challenges us to be faithful in stewardship. It says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. We are stewards, of course, of the things of God. As we come to know him and have him in our life and those things that he teaches us and as we grow and those things we're learning about God, we're held accountable. We are stewards of those things. But not just those things. God has blessed us with so many things, right? For first of all, he's given us gifts. You know, Tori has so many leadership gifts and is able to look. Anybody will come up to her and just tell them their whole life story just because Tori is the kind of person. She's got this gift of a listener and a leader to help just give encouragement to somebody. And I know so many people out there, Eileen and Dan, this gift of prayer and intercession and that heart for just touching people's lives. And so many people, I can say, look, God has given us gifts. And he's blessed us with those things, and we're to be stewards of those. Now, let me ask you, if we think about it that way, and we don't use those gifts or cling on to God and hold on to the vine so that my branch could bear fruit in those ways, in those gifts that God has given me, am I being faithful? Is there fruit being produced with those gifts? We have to be faithful in stewardship of those things, those gifts. He's blessed us. Look, even with, I could even say, you know, God has blessed me with a roof over my head and a car to drive. He's blessed me with good friends. I am to be a steward of those things. Am I treating my friends right? Am I taking care of the house that God has allowed me to own? Am I being a good steward of those things? Romans 12:12 says, and look, the title of this scripture at the top, not at 12:12, but just above that, it says, it's the title is Behave Like a Christian. And I love that because it's kind of like, look, we're going to label this something that it's like, unless you're a little dense in the head, you're going to get it. This is what you should act like if you're a Christian. I'm going to just jump down to verse 12. It just says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing steadfastly in prayer. We're to be faithful in prayer. We're to be faithful in seeking after God and coming before Him and asking Him to take care of us, coming before Him and thanking Him. We're so to be thankful and faithful in prayer. This word steadfastly, I'm going to give you the definition of it. It says, the actual dictionary definition is fixed in direction, steadily directed, firm in purpose, resolution, or faith. Now somebody tell me, if you're fixed in a direction and you're going to continue going that way no matter what, that is being faithful. And so the Bible's telling us, look, in prayer, fix yourself in a direction. Say, I am going to plant myself here and say, this is the way I'm going, and I'm going to move forward, and I'm not going to turn to the right or the left or go backwards. I'm going to continue to move. Move steadfastly. Be faithful. In John 3:20, it says, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. We're to be faithful in truth. The Bible tells us that we have to stick with the truth. Because if we lean a little to the left, a little to the right in each direction, if we're not faithful and steadfast in truth and seeking after Him, really, who is the truth? What is truth? The truth is Jesus. It's God. Set our eyes on Him. Because if we go a little to the left or the right, it's going to end up taking us in the complete wrong direction. I want to talk a little bit about a demonstration of faithfulness. And of course, that demonstration is Jesus. In so many ways, we can look at Jesus in the Bible and get the definition of love or faithfulness or patience or joy. Because He demonstrated those things so well for us. In Matthew 16, I'm just going to talk about it a little bit. It's a time where Jesus came and brought His disciples together, and He's telling them, He says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and I know what's going to happen. They're going to arrest me, and they're going to crucify me. These things are going to happen, but I'm going to go there. And if you remember, in that Bible story, then Peter comes to Him, and he says, Lord, don't go. He says, don't go, God, or don't go, Lord. It's like, you can't go. And do you remember what Jesus says to him? He said, get behind me, Satan. And it's interesting that He says it that way, but you know, as I was thinking about this and studying it, Jesus was continuing steadfastly in the direction that His Heavenly Father had given Him, right? He knew that going to the cross was what He had to do. And He was going that way. And so why did He say, get behind me, Satan? Well, when Peter came, Jesus saw that this was something, you know, Peter wasn't Satan, but he wasn't thinking of what God was thinking. Peter didn't have the mind of God at that moment. He had a worldly mentality. No, if you go there, they're going to kill you. But Jesus said, look, get behind me, Satan. Don't listen to that worldly mind and view that I have to protect myself. All I'm going to do is continue in what my God has told me to do. That's what Jesus is going to do, and He did it. And again throughout history, Satan tempted through Jesus' life and His ministry and we know the stories of Satan coming to Jesus and, you know, throw yourself you know, off this place, and let the angels catch you and you know, do all these different things. And Jesus continued steadfastly and faithful, not wavering to the right or the left. In the King James Version, it says, Jesus set his face steadfastly toward Jerusalem. Jesus was determined that no matter what happened, he would be faithful to the mission God had for him to do. So he went to Jerusalem faithfully. I want to talk a little bit about, I want to give a practical example of being faithful. And I'm just so honored and blessed to be able to come and speak here on Sunday morning. But you know what? One thing that blesses me even more is that we have people that come here in the morning on Sunday morning and they come help set up the chairs. They set up the sound equipment, set up the water and the coffee and the things that we have in the back for people to eat and the sound system and the nursery. And they're so faithful. We've been here for a year and a half, and it's been unbelievable. And we can come together and listen to the word and sing and praise God. But I think about what if some of those people came to a point where they're like, you know what, this is getting difficult and it's just a little harder than I thought it was going to be. And so, you know what, I just don't think I'm going to do it anymore. But you know what, that hasn't happened. It's unbelievable the people that we have here that are steadfastly working to build up this church and what God has for us to do in the Central West End, and to be able to come together and have this amazing service that we have today. And it's such a testimony of faithfulness that we have here in the people at Life Church in Central West End. And so I love that, and I hope you are able to understand that. Sometimes we can come to a place and not even realize that, you know, what goes on behind the scenes or how much it takes. And it's unbelievable and fulfilling even. You know, I would encourage you, if you'd like to come and come early and help us. You don't have to do anything crazy, but it's a good experience to come and just help be a part of the setup and tear down of what happens here at church. So if you'd like to do that, I'd love for you to be a part of it. But we have such a great team that is doing such a great job of being faithful in what God has asked them to do. I want to ask a question now. So that the question is, how do we develop faithfulness? Like I said before, when we're Spirit-led Christians, when we accept God into our life and we have His Spirit in us, we're the branch attached to the vine. And we produce fruit because it's the natural thing to do. See, an apple tree doesn't produce apples because it just thinks real hard, oh, I want to produce apples. No, it does it because it's the natural thing to do. It can't choose to produce oranges or pears or anything else. No, it's an apple tree, and it's naturally producing the fruit of an apple. It's an apple tree. It produces apples. When we're Christians, we should naturally, when we're connected to that vine, our branch should naturally start producing that fruit. And I hope that's what happens as we start talking about these things, that we get more of a vision of how we can produce more fruit. And I know we are already, so many people here, but that we get a little bit more of that fire and passion in us to seek after what God has and produce more fruit than we ever have before. Amen. There's certain things that we need to be careful of. We need to realize that temptations will come. Things will come either to distract us, or things will come to deter us or to knock us off. Look, things happen all the time, everywhere. Try to knock us off our course going toward Jesus. But we have to stay the course. We cannot give into those temptations. Just as surely as Jesus was tempted to be unfaithful, we will be tempted in our marriage, in our relationships with our friends, in all kinds of things. We will be tempted, but you know what? We can stay steadfast in what God has for us because he's there for us. And it's not about me. It's not about you. It's just about him and grabbing a hold of him and all that he is. And as I grab a hold of my Heavenly Father, as I grab a hold of Jesus, all of a sudden I could produce the fruit of love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. All those fruit I can start producing just easy because like the apple tree, I'm naturally going to produce that because I'm connected to the vine which produces those fruit. We need to be consistent, trustworthy, and reliable. And we can be that because God's with us, amen. If we develop these habits, if I continue going and day by day and being steadfast, being reliable, being trustworthy, those are things being faithful encompasses. And day by day, they will get easier and easier. You know, I want to give an illustration of Saul of Tarsus. You know who Saul of Tarsus was? He became the Apostle Paul, and Saul experienced so many different kinds of persecution. But at the end of his life, he was able to come and say something pretty amazing. I'm going to read that for you here. He came to Timothy, and he said, in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, he said, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering." This is the end of his life. "And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing." I love it. This guy, look, his life wasn't perfect, and it wasn't without struggle or without persecution, but at the end of his life, he was able to come and say, "I've fought the good fight. I've run the race. I didn't turn around and go back or stop. I didn't give up. I ran the race, and now I'm at the end of my life, and God's got good things for me to go from here to meeting him and to being with him in heaven." Amen. I mean, wow. What an awesome thing to be able to say. Don't you want to be able to say that? And look, I haven't done everything perfect, and I've had to repent for things. But I want to continue. I want to strive to continue steadfastly on the course of going straight after my Heavenly Father and what he wants for me. And I want to be able to say, like Paul said in the Bible, "I ran the race. I finished the race. I didn't turn around and stop or go anywhere else. I finished the race." I want to take this time and you know what? As I was studying and thinking about this message, and you know, I thought a lot about that being faithful, one of the biggest hindrances to being faithful is just that there are things that come against us. It could be little things that come time after time and wear us down, break us down. Or it could be one big thing. to make me say, you know what? I'm going to give up. Just it. I'm not going to continue on. But I wanted to take this time at the end of my message and say there's probably some of you out there that are at that point right now. So you know what? I'm going to give up. Or you know what? I need to start the race. And I want to say to you that God is faithful. Our Heavenly Father is here with us. And He's there with you to strengthen you and to encourage you and to be with you. That no matter what happens, no matter what happens, you can make it through it. You can get through. Sometimes we don't think you can, but you can. It may take a while. You know, there's a story of Job. So many things happened to him and his family, being killed and him getting these sores all over his body. And this wasn't like, hey, one day in his life. This was a period of time. But he didn't give up. And you know what? God blessed him so much more than he ever had before. And I want to be that. No matter what, anybody, anything comes at me, I want to be faithful in Him. Amen? So I'm going to ask you, would you stand with me right now?
Thank you for being part of the teaching ministry of Life Church. Our hope is that you take this message and apply it to your life in a practical way. If you would like more information about this ministry and you are in the St. Louis area, call us at 314-843-5575. If you are outside the St. Louis area, call us toll-free at 1-800-610-LIFE. If you would like to write us, our address is 1416 Larkin Williams Road, Fenton, Missouri, 63026. Or visit us at our website at lifechurch-stl.com.